We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hello and welcome to Better Living, a show about the people and organizations that make an impact in our area. I'm your host, Nick Carissimi. A new group and an annual holiday guest on the program this morning. Coming up later in the show, Terrence Southern and I talk about using robots to mold young minds with his organization Illuminate STEM. But first, we welcome back Major Barbara Rich. She's the DFW Metroplex Commander of the Salvation Army. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. The weather's been wonderful. We have no complaints.
It's been great.
I know.
And it's got to be extra good for you guys with all the stuff that you do. You're inside, you're outside, you're all over the place. As I said, this is your time of year. I think this is maybe the third time that you have come in for an interview.
I've been here 3.5 years, but this is my fourth Christmas, so I may have done this 4 years with you.
Okay. Yes. All right. Let's get to it. We have so much to talk about and so many things to cover. Mm-hmm. I don't honestly know where we want to start. We could start off with kind of the obvious thing, the kettles.
Sure.
Let's talk about just what these are and really who they benefit.
Yeah.
Because I'm not sure everybody is familiar with that.
Right. Well, or you may see them and not know that information.
Exactly.
Because a lot of people think, oh, it's that season. I hear that bell. It's time again. But you may not realize that kettles that are out in outlying area around the Metroplex, that money stays in that community. So if you were to give money out in McKinney or out in Plano, that money stays in that community and is meeting the needs of people out there.
It was the number one thing I didn't understand about the mm-hmm. Red Kettles, and it's the thing that I like the most.
Sure.
Whenever you want to donate to an organization or be a part of it, I don't have a problem with it going to a national organization, but mm-hmm. I would really prefer it stick in my area. I think that that's a great selling point for you guys as far as getting the donations,
yeah.
And it's a wonderful thing for that community.
Well, and that's one of the things that in the 3.5 years we've been here, my husband and I have come to discover this is a community of really very faithful and loyal people to their community. So even if they're a part of this big Metroplex, if they're in Collin County, they want to help people in Collin County. And if they're in Dallas, that's what's really got their heartstrings. And so I'm glad that our work is done in that way. And our kettles, we believe, are about right on track, although it's always a little nerve-wracking because we do depend on $2 million of our operations budget coming from our kettle.
So that's program. The goal normally, $2 million?
Yes.
Are you consistently hitting that through the years, or does it vary?
We are consistently trying to. Last year we were down, and we did attribute some of that to some donor fatigue because of Hurricane Harvey.
Mm.
Although in past experiences, that sometimes has generated more interest in giving to the Salvation Army in a hurricane or disaster time. But we believe that we'll be right on track this year, but we've got to make sure that we don't lose any ground, that we're right after it. So we've tried some new things this year.
And I do want to talk about those real quick. I was wondering about your understanding of DFW. You said that you've been here for 4 years working with the Salvation Army.
Fourth Christmas, 3.5 years.
Okay. For people that don't live here, you don't really understand the idea of North Texas and how large of an area that really is. You're not just doing Dallas. You're not just doing Fort Worth. You're doing multiple counties.
Five
you're
counties.
Truly doing North Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Did you understand that coming in your position, how large of an area you were really going to be dealing with?
Yes, we did know it was large, and we did know that Fort Worth people did not necessarily want to hear about what was going on in Dallas.
Sure.
But what we've discovered is that Frisco and Plano and McKinney and Collin County is the fastest growing county in the whole nation, I believe. And we didn't recognize until we got here and really dug into the work how we needed to be specific in what we were offering there. And we're growing that our work in those areas.
Are those areas growing the way that you thought they would based on how much attention they're receiving?
Well, naturally, in any of these Metroplex counties, we're seeing tremendous job growth. But what happens is then they kind of make the rents spike up. And then people who we've worked with who have leasing vouchers can't lease up because they can't find places where they can afford the rent for what they receive help with.
Another facet of your industry that I never even would have thought of having to deal with something that. So you're also you're basically doing a little bit of real estate planning as well to try and keep things going. To an extent, at least keeping your finger on the pulse of it for sure.
Yeah, and our job is to point out what's happening.
Exactly.
And yesterday we were at the State of the City with Mayor Rawlings, and he's fully aware of where we're actually moving into. We've just had a strategic plan that our advisory board has approved, and now that will need to go up further for approval through the Salvation Army levels. And we have a really bold and incredible plan for meeting needs of those who are often forgotten in this area.
Is that going to be the focus for 2019 for you guys?
It's going to be the focus for the next 5 years.
Really?
Yes.
So, I mean, so you're really talking about a massive rollout here.
It is a massive rollout. And we have an incredible advisory board that does not want us to be safe. They know that the needs are great, and they know this is Texas, and they want us to have a Texas-sized solution. And so we're learning a great deal, and we're loving living here and working here, honestly.
It's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to feel good.
Yes.
All right, let's get back to these kettles.
Okay.
You've got something new happening with these, because
yeah.
when you think about the kettles, you're thinking of change and a couple of dollars here and there being plopped into those. But we're moving up with the times, and we've got a new digital solution to maybe, you know, a lack of cash in your pockets.
Yeah. Well, let me also say checks are great in the kettle.
Okay, there you go.
and just recently.
Don't forget checks.
Just recently, we had a $10,000 check in the kettle.
Just thrown in?
Yes.
Is that common?
No, that's not common.
Well, maybe not. Okay, maybe
like,
not.
I wish.
You're just randomly getting, you're just constantly getting no. 10K checks.
No, checks are
But those
common.
Those truly anonymous dropped in, well, I guess it's a check. It can't really be anonymous.
You're
it kind
right.
of is anonymous a little bit. I don't know.
What is
How
amazing
do you say
it? To us is that someone would choose to do that in a kettle. I mean, obviously, when they're counting at the end of the day, that's a, you know, we definitely have the happy dance down when there's a counting system going on and they unfold a check.
What's the largest check you've seen in a kettle? Is that the biggest
that
one?
That would be the biggest one that I'm aware
Has
of.
Has to be.
Yes, yes.
That's amazing.
But this year, because so many people don't carry checkbooks and they don't have cash, and the change is also something they might not have, we are able to, you can use Apple Pay and Google Pay. And a QR code on the signs is a new thing. We tried it way back when it was really early technology and just didn't get really any traction on that. Mm. So now the time has arrived again, and our national headquarters is involved with some pilot programs, and we are one of them in the Southern Territory. So we're excited to see what that might produce.
Do you get a lot of pilot program status being here in North Texas because
Absolutely.
You're so popular and large?
Absolutely. Because of the support that we have in the community and because of the advisory board that we have here, throughout the Salvation Army nationwide, a lot of things get started in Dallas and then they branch out from here, which is, you know, we're not a hub for a territorial, you know, for, as far as the Salvation Army organization goes, but the work here has been so phenomenal that we do get to try some things early on.
What separates you from other Salvation Armies across the country? You guys are known as a premier organization within the Salvation Army. Is it your size or is it your success?
It is the success and what has then become the footprint of service that we're able to offer here. And all of that is really attributed to the kind of community leaders who have come alongside the Salvation Army through the years and have supported the work so that they've brought about awareness about what we're doing.
So it's more the community.
Absolutely. That has allowed the Salvation Army's mission to grow here.
Let's talk a little bit more about the community with Angel Trees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's another big program that you guys have. Now, the actual process of Angel Trees is closed off, but we're moving into that next phase of, I'm guessing gathering all the toys and then distribution.
Right. It's an amazing thing to walk through our warehouse during this season.
Because, I bet it's crazy.
Well, there are times when, for instance, I have on my calendar Coca-Cola, who they take like 1,200 angels. And so they will have, they'll bring the polar bear and the big old semi trucks, and they pull up at our warehouse, and they actually have fun. One of their leaders who oversees this gets a pie in the face if they meet all the angels. They have fun. I always say we would never get more volunteers if they knew in the community what you guys do to each other. But JCPenney takes 1,500 angels and returns them. So when those trucks arrive with all those gifts, the piles get very, very high, and you might wonder, how in the world do these gifts get to the children that they have shopped for? But the system is absolutely secure. All those bags have labels on them, and every single gift inside the bag also has a label on it, and it all traces back to that child.
All right, so let's talk about that selection process, I guess, then. Mm-hmm. How parents that qualify for this, or people that qualify for this, they're signed up, their name is attached to one of these angel trees, and then what happens after that?
Their individual children are assigned to the angel tree tags. And then when it comes to the warehouse, all of the children in one family are then... they are put in the same row, and they are then all put in bags so that all of the children, you know, that mom doesn't have to come three or four times back to the warehouse. So then they're gathered by the family name, and none of that is known. That's not, it's all according to a code, a number. And so then that all happens, and they know what time they need to come to the warehouse. And they're brought on big buses from a large parking lot because we don't have any facility with parking that's able to do this.
Actually, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So everybody comes on these big buses, and we all cheer and get in this fun spirit when the parents come off the bus and are coming into the warehouse. And then we make that as wonderful an experience for them picking up their children's gifts as we possibly can. Sometimes we have Rowdy there and the cheerleaders and Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders and others. So,
a great example of the community that you were mentioning earlier.
Yes, absolutely.
Are the gifts specific? Johnny wants a X action figure, or is it a gift for a person of this age?
No, they're very specific. Mom has filled out what a wish and a need would be. And so we ask that that each of those be filled if possible. And no, we want to make sure that if that 8-year-old boy is more into science than they are sports, that we know that on the tag, and that when the person is shopping, they can be very specific for the
we got to get that kid a chemistry set.
Right. That's it. That's our dream, is that each child will get something that is really obviously chosen for them.
You had 10 malls that were involved with this, over 300 different mm-hmm. companies and churches and organizations. How many kids are going to benefit from Angel Trees this year, would you say?
Very, very close to 50,000.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Now, as you were saying, you've got to bring all these parents in, you've got to gather all of this stuff, and then ship it out. How long does it take to actually get the parents the toys once they've been collected?
Well, we don't do it all in one location, so we have many of these distribution sites throughout the Metroplex. So there's about 7 or 8 different places where they pick up.
Okay.
And they can overlap on the same days. But I have my chart in my office so that if I can, I can look in on all the different places that are distributing. We have major warehouses in Fort Worth and in Dallas where the majority of them are distributed. But then we also have places in Garland and Plano and McKinney and Cedar Crest. And yeah, so they're all outlying areas as well.
What do you guys do with the warehouse space when you're not housing toys for 50,000 different kids?
Good question.
You're talking about a full warehouse during this time of the year.
That's right.
And I'm guessing January, a little empty.
Only for a very short time. It's cleared out, and then both of the areas, Fort Worth and Dallas, have very active women's auxiliaries that do major, major sales in the spring. And they use a great deal of space to sort for the one does a huge fashion show, the Dallas Women's Auxiliary does. So they have women that are showing up late January, sorting the racks for what will go on the runway, what will go in the chic boutique sale, what will go to the warehouse after sale. And on the Fort Worth side, they do a garage sale. Enormous garage sale. So they need all that space. And then we also use it for emergency disaster.
Interesting. Where does the bulk of those clothes come from? Is it just collected from all the different collection points, or are there alternative ways, let's say, of gathering that many clothes? Because you're talking about a lot of clothing.
We are, but most of what comes for the Women's Auxiliary Fashion Show is the kind of clothing that would never find its right owner in our family thrift stores, because this is like acquired through some of the best dressed closets in Dallas. And that's what that fashion show is all about. We've actually, you know, it's something that's produced by Jan Strimpel. We have a production company, and we've actually, the funny stories are when some people have donated clothing, seen what Jan Strimpel has reinvented by putting different things with it or changing the hemline, and they bought back their own clothes because they loved what she had done. So we keep that warehouse going with activity on both Dallas and Fort Worth side after Christmas.
I am speaking with Major Barbara Rich. She's the DFW Metroplex commander for the Salvation Army. Their website, salvationarmydfw.org. This month has to feel crazy for you every single month. I mean, you've got something going probably every day. Is this a time of year where you start to get tired at a certain point, or are you always energized because you've got a lot of good stuff happening?
Yes. Oh, I'm always energized. But honestly, my husband and I work together, which is unusual for some people that are not familiar with the Salvation Army.
Right.
But the different thing for this community and the work that we're doing is that it feels like Christmas year round almost, because we have these big things happening all the time. And they're wonderful, but what I say to our staff is, I never get a chance to really savor, to really think through, wow, what, you know, that was an incredible, look at what, you know.
I was thinking about that. It's kind of why I asked, because we were talking about the warehouses, and I was thinking that maybe having a nice empty warehouse for a couple of days would be a good way to see what you've done and actually feel that the season is over, on to the next. But as you mentioned, you're getting maybe a couple of days, and you're always in the process of planning. Christmas is not just December for the Salvation Army.
That's
a year-long project.
That's right. We'll be debriefing right after Christmas. We already have those dates. And then we know that some of our extra toys are purchased in May, and then by August, we're doing briefings with our officers so that everybody's on track for what we're changing this next year. And by Labor Day, we're doing interviews. For so it's a long, long process.
When is vacation time for you? When do you guys get a little break?
Well, we definitely do get away, and we will take a week at a time or so, 10 days at the most.
All right. So yeah. For a lot of people, the holidays are a nice time for them to actually get breaks and to take a little bit of time off of work, and then when the new year comes back, they're ready to jump back in. This is as busy as it gets for you guys, so I was thinking that maybe you have a little bit of a different schedule for relaxation.
We do. Well, we have a new grandchild this year. We have a grandchild that's just 11 weeks old.
Congratulations.
Little girl. So we will be making sure that we get up to the Kansas City area right after Christmas to see her.
All right.
With
What's her name?
Parents. Sloan Charlotte Rich.
It's a good name.
I know. Isn't that fun?
I like Sloan. So do you say this is your first grandchild?
It is. Yes.
How does it feel?
Wonderful, wonderful. And it's the fun thing is watching our son become a parent and his wife. Just as they are doing an incredible job, we're very, very proud of them.
Are they, I don't remember, are they involved with the Salvation Army?
They are not. They are not. Because if our story is that we had 13 years in our middle years where my husband was the executive pastor in another church, and I actually taught school and did development work. And during that time, we were a part of another church, and our son is involved there.
With that
yeah.
church?
Yeah.
There
yes.
you go.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, here's to Sloan's first Christmas.
Yes.
That's excellent. All right. So we've talked about the kettles. We've talked about the angel trees. I want to finish up with the free Christmas dinner. But before that, off mic, you were telling me about something called Register to Ring.
Yeah, that's been incredible this year. We've actually got billboards out to market that, because what we found was that in such a growing employment environment, it's hard to get people to ring a bell at the pay that we are able to pay them. And there are other jobs that are more appealing, perhaps, at that kind of pay. So getting the number of people we need is very, very challenging. And it's always optimum to have volunteers who ring. Oftentimes, they'll bring out their friends. And so we just weren't at really being as effective as we could. And so we are using this new program called registertoring.com. You go on, you find the site where you would like to ring, and you can sign up for a full day. Is wonderful, because you can get your friends, you know, tag teaming with you, taking on a 2-hour time, but you can sign up for just a 2-hour time too and find it right there. And we're getting an awful lot more volunteers as a result of that.
Is this the first Christmas you guys have implemented this?
It is.
It's got to be exciting to see something actually work like that.
It is. And, you know, even as I'm out and around, I was at a Hobby Lobby in Arlington. I was just thrilled with the way this couple were going after it, greeting people, wishing them a Merry Christmas, just very, very friendly and outgoing. And I said to them, are you by any chance volunteers? And they said, yes, we are. This is our first time doing this. And I said, and I wish we could clone you, because we would do so incredibly well.
Do you always introduce yourself to people when you see them doing the kettles, or sometimes you just hang off in the background and kind of watch?
I generally am in a uniform, so it's very hard for me to sneak in. But on occasion, I might not be in uniform. I don't usually just sneak in, but I have been known to maybe do a little bit of coaching if it's needed.
Great. All right. This is what I wanted to ask. I was going to bring this up, and I didn't know if it would work or not, but you mentioned it, so I have to ask. What are the tips for people that are ring the bells at the kettles? Mm-hmm. What helps you to be the best? What do you call somebody that is at the kettle? Is there a name for?
Yeah, a bell ringer.
A bell ringer. All right.
Yeah,
so
a kettle worker, ringer.
What's the secret to success for a bell ringer?
Engaging the people, and not engaging them for a donation, engaging them just opening doors, saying hello, wishing them a good day, Merry Christmas. Just getting people aware of your presence there in an appropriate and winsome kind of a way. And that makes a huge difference, as opposed to, you know, it's funny
just
because
standing there and ringing.
Yes, and I'm from the north originally. So when I hear people complain about some of the inclement weather, it cracks me up, honestly.
I'm always the most impressed with those people that are out there, and it's drizzling and it's mm-hmm. cold and it's nasty, and they're just ringing that bell and they're just sticking with it. I always have a lot of respect for those people. But if you were comparing our weather to, where are you from originally?
Chicago.
And okay.
Yeah,
all right. So
with lake effect snow and, you know.
We don't even know what lake effect snow is here. So, yeah. There's going to be a big difference there for people that are maybe trying to complain a little bit. Is there anything, do you guys have a name for like the fatigue you get from just hearing the bell if you're just ringing it all the
That's
time?
That's so funny that you should ask that, because at one point, early on, when we were just cadets being trained and we had to do this, you know, all day, which honestly, even though I grew up in the Salvation Army and we're 5 generations of Salvation Army officers, I hadn't done much with kettles myself. And so my first experience, the bell ringing was just stuck in my head on repeat. And I went to a concert that night, dead tired. And I am one of those very friendly, outgoing people. So I was saying, thank you, Merry Christmas. Thank you, Merry Christmas. I'm hearing the bell. And I fell asleep for a moment. And I almost spoke out loud, thank you, Merry Christmas, in this concert. And it would have been horrible if I had done that. But I caught myself.
That's really funny.
But you do end up with...
It's amazing how sounds and repetition can seep into your brain. And then you automatically jump. Oh, there's a lot of different things in radio that kind of provide that same thing. When you see a clock roll over to a certain hour, you maybe jump for a button or something you need to do or hit. So I that's really why I wanted to ask that, because I've seen those people ringing those bells, especially the enthusiastic people.
Right.
I'll go into the grocery store, you pull in, you open your car door, and you immediately hear it across the parking lot. So you know that they're serious.
Yeah.
And then you walk in, and you're halfway through the grocery store, and you're still hearing it, and then you come back out, and he still hasn't let up, and you think to yourself, hours of that, it's gonna start getting to you.
But let me just say, because I want to circle back, because we really do need volunteers, that 2 hours won't ever do that to you.
Absolutely
only if you were to do it.
We're talking about 12, 14
day.
Hour shifts,
right,
easy.
Right, right.
Have you noticed that people are surprised by the experience they get from being with the kettles?
Yes. And one of the neat experiences that we've come to recognize is we often, whether it's through Angel Tree or through the kettles, or even bringing a grandchild along to volunteer at the bell, at the kettle, ringing a bell, we are giving parents an opportunity to model philanthropy at the very earliest ages. And I like that. I love the fact that parents who give their children money to put in the kettle and explain what that money is used for are teaching their kids how important it is to give back.
It does seem like a great way to introduce a kid to service in general. It's not too hard. It's something they can see. They get to participate in it. I think that's a great idea. Have you found that that's one way that a lot of kids learn about the Salvation Army?
Yes, yes. And in fact, we have advisory board members and auxiliary members of the Salvation Army who for years have brought their grandchildren to do this with them out at North Park Mall. And they say, please don't put it on a weekday. We want it on a weekend so that we can bring our grandkids.
Is it 7 days a week for the kettles while they're out there?
No, only 6 days, because the kettles take a break on Sundays.
Okay. All right. So the kettles take a break on Sunday. That's a good thing.
So that we sometimes get calls saying, we don't know where your workers are. You know, it's a great day at the mall and nobody's out there working. And they think like,
if somebody's feeling industrious, are they allowed to go out on a Sunday?
Well, they're not supposed to, because it's part of our...
it's part of the thing.
Yes. Yes. That we don't do that work on Sundays.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Finishing up, we have the big free Christmas dinner. It's happening on Christmas Day, 11:30 to 1 p.m. There is one in Dallas. There is also one in Fort Worth, the Dallas location on Harry Hines Boulevard, and the Fort Worth location over on East Lancaster Avenue. Mm-hmm. Big thing for you guys. Do you enjoy this?
Absolutely. I just love this. We do this at Thanksgiving and at Christmas. And it's wonderful because you don't have to indicate need. And if you're going to be alone and that's a time when you want to be with other people, there's a wide variety of people that come. And there's just a joyful environment there. There's just a really fun experience.
For people that are eating, is there any kind of sign up for that? Or is it just show up?
Yeah, you can just show up.
Okay. And are you still looking for volunteers for that?
No, unfortunately, those are one of those volunteer times when even though you think, oh, it's Christmas, you probably have trouble getting people, there are people that long ago made it their Christmas tradition. And so we often have more than we need as far as the sign up for that has happened a long time ago.
Is there kind of a waiting list for
it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Yes. So because some people, that's just what they want to do on Christmas.
Right. Mm-hmm. I always love, one of the things I always ask organizations is, do you have any volunteer opportunities coming up? And every once in a while, certain events, certain organizations, they want volunteers, but they don't necessarily need them. And it's such a weird thing because on one hand, it's wonderful that you don't need them. But then it seems whenever you're a volunteer organization like this, you are always looking for somebody. So maybe if they can't do the Christmas dinner, find something else that they can participate in.
Oh, yeah. We have plenty of opportunities for them to help with toy distribution in all of those locations. And that is all funneled through. You can go to SalvationArmyDFW.org and find out if you want to volunteer, find out how to get in touch with the right people.
All right. So Angel Trees are done, but distribution currently happening. So if you want to get involved with that, you can still do that. Christmas dinner happening in Fort Worth and Dallas, 11:30 to 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. RegisterToRing.com happening currently because the kettles go until December 24th. They go
That's
up
right.
into Christmas Eve, and those are 10 a.m. to 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look for them on Sundays because everybody's taking a break from the bells. It's a wonderful organization, and I love having you in here. For details on any of this, SalvationArmyDFW.org. I've been speaking with Major Barbara Rich. She's the DFW Metroplex Commander. Thank you again for stopping by and for your service.
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.